Lent has been for centuries a time where the church has reflected about what our sin cost God. What it cost God to deal with our sin. Christ gave his life to purchase our salvation. And we remember the 40 days of him being in the desert where he faced temptation. And we're thankful that he is the one, because he's tempted, he's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And so we have hope as we reflect on Christ. Early in the church history, maybe the 4th century, the Eastern Church came up with 7 or 8 deadly thoughts. It came out of the monastic movement that these would be the 7 or 8 things, or they had 8, that really would lead us in the wrong direction, away from Christ, away from the mercy of God, and into our own little worlds. And then it came over to the West through Pope Gregory the Great. He called them the 7 deadly sins. The 7 deadly sins. Now, when I think of sin, this comes to mind. Now, that's not me, but it sure could have been. It was the summer of 1994 or 95. I'm not sure which. I tend to try to not remember, but it just comes back every time I think about sin. I picture myself, the youth group had gone to Bass Lake. And we had rented a party barge, and the 2-level kind, so the kids were jumping off, they were having a great time. We also rented a wave runner jet ski. And of course, someone's got to demonstrate how we ride those things, so yeah, I got on. And I was just having a blast. I was just going in and out, and I thought, okay, it's time for me to stop. I need to get to the, I got to get back to the barge. I've used up all my time. Everybody else wants to drive. So I was just roaring toward the party barge. And it felt like I was getting faster and faster. And I'm telling my right index finger, stop, slow down. And I'm telling my left hand, to turn, but I just kept going faster and straight. I mean, I don't think I was capable of going that straight, and I didn't want to, but I rammed the party barge. Was anyone there to witness that wonderful occasion? Yeah, that was a not one of my happier moments. But see, that's what sin is. It's just being off. You may not even want to do it, but something happens. And before you know it, your jet ski is right into the party barge. And everyone's looking, it's like, wow, Greg, we don't have to drive like that if we drive the jet ski, do we? No, you don't. But if you're... See, this is what sin is. It keeps us a little bit off track. Sin, in the words of the Bible, is missing the mark. It's missing the mark. You've got a target. I was not supposed to hit the barge. I was supposed to go to the left of the barge, but I hit it. I missed the mark. Sin is lawlessness. That's what 1 John 3 tells us. Sin is doing anything you believe is wrong. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you do it anyway. That's how the Bible defines sin. It also says it's doing anything without fully believing it's what God desires. So anything without faith is sin. Now, like I said, there are 7 that the church has identified as the deadly sins, and there's pride, there's envy. We're going to be thinking about envy together next week. In a couple weeks, John L. is going to be speaking to us about anger. And no, it's not just because that's her biggest struggle, okay? It's just that that's the one we get to hear God through her. There's sloth. Does anyone want to volunteer to preach on sloth? And we're not talking about the little animal. There's greed. No. We're not going to skip this one because we know this one. And then there's gluttony and lust. These are known traditionally as the seven deadly sins. And it's not because these are worse in God's eyes. These are just representative of seven of the key ways we find ourselves missing the mark. You might think of them as seven different jet skis, where you get on and you just go and, wow, you're before you know it, everyone's shaking their head at you. You're genuinely wondering, how did I get here? How did that happen? When I started the day, I didn't plan on doing that. But you did. And it was no one else's fault. The party barge didn't move into your line. You did it. So sin. Sin is a denial of two things. First, of God's character, and then of our nature. See, before we do an act of sin, something is happening in our hearts and minds where we are denying God's character or our nature, who God is or who we are. Sin is a denial. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. See, sin is a denial of God's character. We read, John says, God is light. This is the same metaphor he used in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, that God is light, that Christ came into the world, shone his light, but then people rejected it. People rejected it. He is holy. There is no darkness in him at all. God is holy with an H. He's also wholly different than us with a W. God is different. He is other than we are, other than I am for sure, and yeah, other than you are too. See, he's also truthful and sovereign. God always tells the truth. You see how John's working with, when we deny God's character, we're deceived. When we deny God's character, that he is light, that he is holy, that he is truthful, and that he is sovereign, we start driving the wrong way. We become deceived, and that's when we get into trouble. See, and we think we're doing the right thing for us. We don't sin because we think we're going to get in trouble. We sin, we deny who God is, because we think we're going to get something good out of it. I mean, sometimes we're just plain stupid and we're self-destructive. But if you reflect on how you sin, how you've sinned in the past, you pretty much thought you were doing the best thing for you. Just a little bit of cheating. You didn't plan on getting caught, and if you cheated, you might pass the class. Or you might pay a little less in taxes. See, We think when we sin, we're doing what's right for us. But we're denying that God is holy, that God is truthful, and that God is sovereign. We'll come to it in just a moment, but I really think we're denying that he's even there. But in that, we deny our nature. Sin denies our nature that we are created. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, "You are not God, you are created"? And don't get mad if they've told you that. Now you get to tell them that you are not God, but you are created. Now, that's absurd. Of course I'm not God. Why do I act like it then? Why do I act like I am different, I am other than everybody else, and that the rules that apply to all of you don't apply to me? Why do I act like I'm the Holy One? Why do I act like I can define what's true? That if it comes out of my mouth, it must have been true. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I lied within the context of our family, and they knew, and they would just look at me like, "He can't believe what he just said, did he?" And I would have this, I could have passed a lie detector test because I believed I was, I am not God. You are not God. We are created. We are created, and that means we're dependent. We are dependent on God. He says, for our very breath. In our first service this morning, we talked about 1 Corinthians 4:7, where he says, "Who regards you as superior? And what do you have that you have not received? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" We are created. We are dependent. Sure, you may have improved on a little bit of your natural gifting. Sure, you may have come out of difficult things and you've missed the barge. You've steered in some good ways. But you know what? What are you working with? How many of you chose the family you were in? None of us did. How many of you chose that you happen to be good with numbers? How many of you chose that you're going to be taller than me? See, we may be able to improve on the gifts that we have, but we are absolutely dependent on what we've been given. We're also flawed and sinful. Yep. I know you want to do this, so turn to your neighbor and say, "You're flawed and sinful." Okay, now you turn back and say, "Well, so are you." Here's the hard part. It's true, and we laugh. But the fact that we're flawed and sinful is what causes many of us to go to sleep crying. Every one of us has caused pain and suffering to others because we are flawed and sinful. Again, sometimes it's a flaw, didn't mean to do it. And sometimes it's exactly what I wanted to do, and maybe I even excelled. And I went beyond what I expected. Every husband and wife knows exactly what I'm saying. Every husband and wife knows exactly what I'm saying. In every wedding that I perform, I make the statement that I've gone over during the premarital time together, that right now you're in love, you have stars in your eyes, but there are going to come days, not just one day, but there are going to come days when you intentionally hurt your spouse. And every time, just like I'm sure I did when someone told me, "No, I would never do that to him. I would never do that to her." every time I've met with them within the first 6 months, I'll say, what do you remember from the wedding? To the person, if they remember anything, because half the time they can't remember anything. But if they remember anything, it is, you know what? I didn't believe, but you know, there was this one night. Well, there was more than one. But anyway, this one night, I got her. I knew if I did this, And then I just rolled over and went to sleep with a big smile on my face that she couldn't see. And so how'd that feel? I was thinking, you know what? That, you fill in the blank, he meant to hurt me. Well, I'll show him. And it goes on and on and on. We laugh. We laugh because it embarrasses us. We laugh because the gravity of our sin is so great. And because our hope is so small that we could ever change, we just accept it. We just accept it. I love how Dorothy Sayers describes pride. This is going to be the first of the seven deadly sins. She describes pride as a deep interior dislocation of the soul. See, again, pride really is almost synonymous with sin because it's that bent that we have to go away from God. See, it's denying God and substituting ourselves in his place. It's like, how can we say that we have not sinned if we claim to be without sin, or if we claim we have not sinned? How can we do that without removing God from the whole picture? How can that thought even come into my mind that, no, I'm sin me? No. The only way I can do that is if I become the one who defines what's right and wrong. See, it's really the first deadly thought. It's like a GPS that's got the wrong setting. About 15 years ago, Badvili Razmig and Jen came to Boston, and he was serving out his AUNA internship, and we had to go to the IKEA. And the IKEA in Boston, we were up here in Belmont, and you had to go through the city of Boston south. And everyone told me, oh, Badvili, you're going to get lost. Do you have a GPS? And I didn't have a GPS. But I asked Russ, can I borrow yours? Sure. So he got us there. We took care of business. We actually didn't get lost in the store, which was pretty miraculous. We got out, had the stuff with us, and I was told that all you have to do is say, go home. How do I get home? So we said, go home. And I knew, I looked at the maps, I was like, something doesn't seem right. I think we're supposed to go east, but I think it's sending us west. That's weird. And Sosie's telling me, Greg, just trust the GPS. As if I've ever been lost before, right? Anyway, so we're following the GPS, and it's like, you know, this seems like really wrong. And so I actually pulled off, and I hit home. GPS was taking us back to California. They had not reprogrammed it for Belmont. And well, in the long term, that was great. We made it back. But this is who we are. Our pride is a dislocation, an internal dislocation of our soul that denies God. We have our own location. We have our own home in mind. And so we miss what God has, and it's reversing reality. Reality is God is God. His will is good. He is faithful. Everything you said in praising him, but pride sends us our own direction. He is the Lord, He is the ruler, and when we deny Him, we become deceived. See, we're dependent. I mean, did you hear Garo just now? I've been praying for years to have a child. Some of you know what this is like. The world we live in demands that God be central. Could they pull it off on their own? No. How many of us are faced with circumstances, and because we've reversed reality and put ourselves in the God spot, are we left hopeless, left frustrated, left angry, and all the other deadly sins just roll out of this? I've got to be gluttonous because there's no other comfort. Greed, I've got to fill myself with greed because there's no one else to do that. There's no one else I can count on. See, there's hope. There is hope. But it doesn't feel like it sometimes. When you read what I read and what Mike read from 1 John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. But right in the middle of that, in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, we have hope. We have hope because we have an advocate and we have an atoning sacrifice. John writes in the first two verses of chapter 2, it's an unfortunate page break, unfortunate chapter break. John writes, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, aren't you glad that's written there? Aren't you glad that you're not just depending on me or someone else to tell you, it's okay. If you sin, it's not fatal. It's not fatal. Sinning is not fatal. Denying sin is fatal. Putting yourself in God's place, embracing pride, is fatal. But God knows us. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We have an advocate with the Father. If you've ever been in court, you know you don't want to be your own attorney. You want someone who's an expert. A very close friend of mine is in the midst of a very unjust court case where they're being accused of something. They're absolutely innocent. There's plenty of evidence. And it's going to cost them thousands of dollars to defend themselves. And they know if they go in to try to defend themselves, they're in trouble. They don't know how the system works. What they think is crystal clear has lots of nuances, and they've employed a quite expensive attorney. And Lord willing, their innocence will be proven obvious, and the attorney's convinced of that. But you come before God, especially when you've reversed it, got it all mixed up, and think you're in competition with Him, thinking like, listen, I don't know who you think you are to be accusing me of evil, but you don't know who I am? Well, He does know who we are. He knows that we're flawed and sinful. He knows that we're created, and so He's provided an advocate for us. And imagine the defense attorney is also the one who provides the payment for the punishment. That our advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one who's been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, who offers Himself. The Son of God offers Himself in your place and in my place so that we don't have to be captured and controlled by pride. He is the atoning sacrifice. He takes away the wrath of God that my sin demands. Your sin demands. Jesus is not just a gentle shepherd. He is. He is not just a healer. He is not just the greatest teacher who's ever walked on planet Earth. He is the payment that your sin and my sin demands. You try to switch places with him, it does not go well. You try to pay for your own sin, it's eternal damnation. But because he had no sin, he could take our place and be raised to life. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. But if we confess our sins, we have an advocate. See, the fathers said that in addition to the seven sins, there are also seven virtues. And they're humility, and we're going to go over these in the weeks to come. But humility is the counter or the foil to pride. And what humility is just being honest, isn't it? It's walking in the light. It's letting God take a look at our lives, shine the light of his word, the light of our conscience, the light of the Spirit in our life. And instead of pointing the finger in condemnation that we deserve, he offers forgiveness if we'll ask. See, walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. It's confessing our sins. See, if we'll do that, then we will become the people God's created us to be. Yes, we will be dependent on him. Yes, we will be flawed and we will be sinful. But we will become the people that he's designed us to be. These seven deadly sins don't need to control us. And there might be someone here this morning who has never said, Jesus, can we reverse the places? Would you please take back the seat on the throne? You may be here this morning and saying, me? This could be for me? And Jesus says, yes, I have given my life for you. Sin does not need to condemn you, and sin does not need to control you. If that's you this morning, ask him. Ask him, say, Jesus, please, would you forgive my sins? I know I have no hope in myself, but because of what you've done, I can be forgiven. Would you please, Jesus, forgive my sin? Would you please be God? Would you be Lord of my life? Don't let today go by without taking that opportunity to do that. If you want to talk with me or Bodily Mogul or many people here, we'd love to talk with you. But today is the day of salvation. Let's leave our pride. Let's be who we're created to be, dependent upon the holy, the truthful, and the sovereign God who loves you so much that he gave you his only son. Let's pray. Father, thank you that sin need not rule over us. We confess that we are proud. We confess that we're dislocated. We confess that we're crashing all the time. Jesus, thank you for taking our place. And I pray by your Spirit that you would bring salvation this morning. That there no one would leave this room without turning to you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Please stand.